Welcome back into From the Diamond with Grant McCauley here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we continue from the Kia Studios and keep this Braves conversation going in what has been, no doubt, a frustrating start to the Braves season and only about halfway through what is going to be a challenging road trip, to say the least. San Diego has not been kind to the Braves. Los Angeles awaits the Braves. But before we get to all of that, I want to break down what we've seen here early. And to help me do that, I want to welcome in one of the voices of the Braves, CJ Nitkowski of FanDuel Sports, who was out in San Diego as the Braves got their season started over the weekend. Well, CJ, as always, I appreciate you making some time for me. We've got to talk about this opening road trip, a big test for this club right out of the gate. First, they square off with a team that ended their 2024 season, and then they get a showdown with the Dodgers. And not only that, 7 games in 7 days to start the season, and that's kind of unusual. And I think just overall, this has to be one of the tougher opening assignments for any club to start a season, doesn't it?
I think so, but the exact same thing happened back in 1994. The Braves started 7 games against the Padres and the Dodgers and went 7-0 on that trip. Not going to happen this year now, unfortunately, but it is definitely a tough one. I will say this, listening to what most of the guys have been saying, they like it. They actually like the idea of coming out here early, knocking out the West Coast trip. Yeah, sure, you can't avoid good teams anyway, and this is certainly a really tough trip and a tough way to start. But at the same time, the schedule finishes really strong in their favor when it comes to travel and time zones, and it's a trade-off, right? And so I think, again, not that they would necessarily pick it this way, but I don't think guys are too upset about it. They understand that if you want to get where this team wants to go, you got to play the best. In this case, you got to play the best right from jump, and there's no off days in there, which we'll see how the whole 7 days play out, but could be a little bit of a challenge for the bullpen. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be challenging for the pitching staff, for the lineup, just for a team, I think, getting its legs under it. A lot to unpack, I guess, no pun intended, when you start on a road trip. But I don't want to get lost in one game, because you and I both know, and most people listening, I think, out there know how much goes into the marathon of a Major League Baseball season. The opening day defeat, though, the way it happened, I think was one of the more frustrating outcomes that you'll find. The bullpen, as you mentioned, I mean, it's going to get tested this year. The same couple of guys can't throw every single game. We know that as well. But what is your read on how this group will or can come together? And, you know, where's your confidence level, I guess, to start the season?
You have to give it some runway, right? We as fans want to win every single game. Of course, that's not going to happen. We want the bullpen to be perfect. That's not going to happen. So when you see it early, like we did on opening day, and there are frustrating losses, I guess the only thing I'd say it's a little different there, not to get, you know, too worked up about, is that it was a one-run lead, right? There are times where there are way more frustrating losses in games that you feel like you have in hand. Mm-hmm. There was some good back and forth there. The Padres are an underrated good team. They didn't add a lot, but they're still a good team. They have a really good lineup. You know, and thinking about Hector Neris not having a great day in that opener, to, you know, he hadn't been here very long, right? Been here a couple of weeks, through 2 games in spring training, maybe still getting settled in a little bit. And so you have to give it some space. You have to give it some time. You make a decision with your bullpen, and you're not going to necessarily overreact, I don't think, and start worrying about, you know, a couple of games into the season. So you have to let it be evaluated, let it play out a little bit. Is there an opportunity where they could be a little bit deeper? Sure. I mean, AJ is a big loss. Joe Jimenez is a huge loss. That is the one that you're trying to make up for in the process. Bullpens are fluid. There will be changes. Changes happen. It's a couple of nice arms, veteran arms that are willing to go to the minor leagues right now, which you certainly do appreciate. So I am not over panicking here early on. Certainly Alex Anthopoulos is not either.
And obviously those reinforcements are nice. You mentioned there are a couple of them down in the minor leagues, with Craig Kimbrell being the biggest name. Jesse Chavez also back with the club, and hey, who saw that coming? Well, probably everybody, but I'm kind of wondering, CJ, are you surprised that the Braves didn't get that proven bullpen piece or two earlier in the winter, especially with knowing that Joe Jimenez could potentially be out for the year? That news broke back in early November, and then AJ Minter moved on to the Mets as a free agent, so even when I talked to Alex Anthopoulos in spring training, he said they pursued these other options. The deals just didn't work out, and I guess you can't help that sometimes, and you try to control the controllables, for lack of a better phrase, but by adding a few pieces to the mix, I guess, right now in the minors that could help you out, at least you've got those options down in the farm. But all in all, it kind of felt like a bit of a miss for the Braves over the winter.
You do, and it got expensive this winter. You know, quite honestly, that Tanner Scott contract went to a place that I don't think anyone was really anticipating. He beat expectations by a pretty wide margin, right? So that was a big one. And looking at a guy like Kirby Yates, who'd been here before, and, you know, whether or not that was even an option or on the table, he did really well for himself in free agency. The guy that's still out there that is shocking to me is David Robertson. And there's some rumblings about maybe what he is looking for from a financial standpoint. Remember, he represents himself now. He is his own agent. Oh. And sounds like, at least up to this point, that it's all about what he really wants, right? He turned down a $7 million mutual option with the Rangers, which I think was reasonable. He had 99 punchouts last year. He could definitely do better than that. In the open market, the question is how much? And you hear some numbers that start to get maybe into the mid-teens on a one-year deal, might be pushing it a little bit, maybe makes you a little bit uncomfortable. I thought he would have been a great fit, but it doesn't mean you overpay for him either. And I think that's ultimately what ended up happening here with the relief market, is that there was a handful of small number of guys at the very top, and it got really expensive. And I think the Braves, you know, everything that we're hearing, trying to give themselves some flexibility to have and not lock themselves up to a payroll spot where they can't then make moves later in the year.
You know, and that Robertson thing is a really good point. You know, not just that he represents himself, but it kind of reminds me at least a little bit of the 2019 season. And this had compensatory draft picks attached to it. But when Craig Kimbrell was just sitting out there waiting for a better option, for a better offer, and eventually he got one from the Cubs. But it cost him several months of the season, obviously, and the Braves signed Dallas Keuchel around that time as well. But, you know, long story short, you do what you can during the winter, and then as you pointed out, you make adjustments during the season. And one thing that Alex Anthopoulos discussed really early in his tenure with the Braves is you don't want to start forcing deals. You don't want to start making overpayments that could kind of paint you into a corner if they don't work out and when you need help during the season. And that part, the needing help during the season, that's certainly more of a win than an if, it seems like.
Yep, I agree. And I think the area in which they did address things early, as he also talked about at the beginning of the season, was making sure they had outfield depth. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, this organization has been around and covering for a long time, always looking for outfielders, it seems like, whether it's because guys have gotten hurt. Obviously, we saw it a couple of years ago in winning a World Series and the major changes that they made in the outfield. It feels like this year in particular, the depth that is there, especially once Ronald gets back and now that Verdugo is in this organization as well, plus the guys that you currently have on the big league roster, like that is an area of depth that they said, we got to get in front of this. It feels like now. So we're not dealing with this like we often are and have been these last few years later in the season. But I do think that, again, the bullpen situation is a little bit different. It'll be fluid. There'll be teams that start to drop out, and then we'll see whether or not a move can be made.
Chatting with CJ Nikowski of FanDuel Sports. He joins me here on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One last thought on the bullpen and the departures. I mean, I think we're going to see, I believe, how much they're going to miss AJ Minter. I know he missed some time last year, and of course, Father Time is undefeated. We'll see how he pitches in 2025 and beyond. But AJ seemed to be one of the most important parts of this group during his tenure, year in and year out. That's a loss, CJ, I think, that you feel on the field and off the field, isn't it?
Yeah, he's such a great guy. Fortunate to get to know him a little bit last year. It was just pleasant to be around, and exactly the kind of teammate and bullpen mate that everybody wants to have. But with a loss creates opportunity, right? And so that opportunity for Dylan Lee, where he was last year and kind of emerging with that great slider that he has and even seeing some uptick in velocity, there's a great opportunity. He was really good on opening day. He's going to be asked to take on a bigger role. Aaron Bummer, I felt like, was somewhat underrated last year. I thought he did a good job. He's got a good left arm. There's a reason why he's been around for a long time. So there's great opportunity for those two, I think, in particular, to emerge. I'm with you. Absolutely. You miss AJ. He's a special player, special person. Did well for himself in a contract. You got to be happy for him. Wish it was in a different division, but so be it. But this is the life of the bullpen. And so that opportunity is there. And there's a lot of confidence for me in Dylan Lee and Aaron Bummer. So you got a couple of lefties there in particular that I think can do a good job and hold it down.
Yeah, nice to have a couple of options there, no doubt. Now, let's talk about something we hope to see more of this year, and that's the offense as a collective. If 2023 was that high water mark and 2024 was hopefully the low bar, then I think they're going to clear it pretty easily this year. Jerickson Profar comes over. He's got the leadoff role until Ronald Acuna Jr. is back. But how do you feel about the potential of a full-strength Braves squad this year with Tim Hyers also on board now and able to make maybe some necessary course corrections for getting the Braves as far away from that 2024 season and as far away from that 2024 mindset, perhaps, as possible?
Yeah, I'm excited for him. I've known Tim for a long time. So as far as, you know, that opportunity goes and what you're going to get on the coaching side, I think everyone's going to be really pleased. Even talking to Chipper a little bit during spring training and talking to other coaches and players as well, I think they're all settling in really nicely with him. And so I think the opportunity to see that bump up that we're all looking for offensively ultimately is going to be there. But having Jerickson Profar here, I don't think it can be understated at this point. We saw it in spring. He has fit in so nicely here from a personality standpoint with this group. He's wanted to be here in the worst way. I just think there's a lot of optimism surrounding what it can be this offensive season. You know, last year, a lot of it was injuries, right? It kind of is what it is, and it was brutal to have to go through it. I don't think they're necessarily – we're looking at major changes that have to happen as far as, you know, swings and other things. And we talk a lot about pitch selection. That's what Hires has kind of preached and how you get there and the mindset of having a little bit more discipline. But there's a lot of reason to be excited about what's going on with the bats.
No doubt. And I think we're all wondering, we're all excited about Ronald Acuña Jr. getting back. The ETA sounds like sometime in May, though it's not completely clear yet. He's been through this ACL thing before, CJ, and it seems like this time around, at least to me, he's been able to work hard but also benefit from his experience to do the best things for his body throughout the rehab process. That and the team obviously took a very measured approach with him as well. They've tried to manage expectations as much as you can for a player of Ronald Acuña Jr.'s magnitude coming back by, I think, not necessarily throwing a whole bunch of dates throughout his rehab.
Yeah, I think that's probably the smart way to do it. Slow play it. They've been through it before. They know what it's like not having him. We've seen it, unfortunately, too often. And not to say too often, it's not his fault, right? It's just what's going on with the knees with him. And so I'm on board with that 100%. As much as we're all anxious, just like we are with Strider, you know who he is, you know what they can bring to the table. But I think the Braves, and part of the reason, again, going back to that outfield depth, that they have done this, is because they want to be cautious. They want to have guys not just now, but they want to have them till the very end and have a long, deep October run. And so play it safe, play it smart, and we all look forward to seeing him back at the top of the lineup.
Yeah, we all know what kind of impact he could make on this team as well. Let's talk a little bit about the rotation before we get out of here. There's a Cy Young winner at the top in Chris Sale, multiple All-Stars at that when Spencer Strider gets back alongside Reynaldo Lopez. Then you got the young standout Spencer Schwellenbach, who impressed everyone last year. I don't know that he's going to sneak up on anybody this season. We're a long way from October, but that's the obvious expectation for this club, and pitching will play a big part of that. But putting that aside, I think if you're to do a census of all 30 teams' top four starters, that group of Sale and Strider and Lopez and Schwellenbach, that's as good as anybody's running out there.
Absolutely. And that's the kind of depth that you love to have. And so now it's a matter of making sure, like you said, October's a long way away. You got to get there first. But by keeping that group healthy and ready to go for these moments that hopefully are coming for this club. But it is special. It's fun to watch. Chris Sale was good on opening day. He has been such a blessing for this organization. And I know, again, as fans, we're always looking for the next thing. I do think, and I mentioned it on the opening day broadcast, that you almost got to don't forget to take a minute once in a while and appreciate that deal. And that deal that they got done and what he meant to this organization last year and what he will mean going forward. That is incredible where he was the few previous seasons with the Red Sox. He finished strong, but Alex Anthopoulos was able to pull that off for Vaughn Grissom. And then to be able to get him extended and worked out, it's just been unbelievable. So you have him, and not only has he just been great, but he's been great for the rest of this group, which has been really fun to listen to him talk about it. He's so incredibly humble, and he's trying to lift the other guys up, and it's been really cool to see. And what he's meant to Schwellenbach, I think, in particular, we asked him about that on the broadcast a couple of games ago, or a while, I guess, now back in spring training, and you love it. You know, you can tell that Spencer loves it, that he's a sponge. He asks a lot of questions, and he can sit there and lean on Chris Sale. This depth is great. Grant Holmes is really good. I think the fact that once Spencer Strider gets back and we're talking about Grant Holmes and hopefully A.J. Smith-Shaw are pitching well, and you know what are you going to do there, would be nice. That cutter for A.J. Could end up being a big difference maker for him that we saw in spring training. So you're right. I mean, it is deep. It is legit. And if you can go into an October with that four, especially based on how things have been the last few years with starting pitching that you haven't had available to you in the postseason, that would be an unbelievable gift.
Let me just ask you about Smith-Shawver. He has impressed the Braves enough to kind of pushed his way to the big leagues at 20 years old a couple of years ago. He's had some time to round out that arsenal. What's your read on his development, and what do you think is a reasonable expectation for him? Because we've all seen the stuff. We all know it's there, but will he be able to put it all together at the big league level?
I think he will be. He is athletic enough that he'll be able to repeat his delivery, and I think in due time, getting more innings under his belt, and obviously now he's going to do it at the big league level, will yield some really good results. Is he going to have a huge year this year? Who knows? Is it going to take a couple more years because he's so young? We'll see. But can he get there? I think the answer is yes. And again, going back to the addition of the cutter for a guy who has such a great changeup, it's nice when a guy is that young and already has a good changeup. Now it becomes about How can you make that pitch work best against big league hitters, and not just a pitch by itself, but how you sequence to get there? And I do think that cutter is really going to help him, especially against those lefties. You get him a little bit more honest inside, which opens up more opportunity for that changeup where it doesn't have to be perfect away. So I think that is something that we see with him. So that cutter looked pretty good. I think, like any other pitcher, command inside the strike zone will be really important, even though he has a plus arm and he has an exciting arm. We know where the game is now velocity-wise. And so I think that those are the things that I keep an eye on. How's the command inside the strike zone? How are things for him with the cutter and other pitches kind of feeding off of it? But there's a lot to be excited about.
He's CJ Nikowski of FanDuel Sports Network. Make sure you are following along with him on socials. You can find him at CJ Nikowski on most of those. And, of course, you can hear him all season long with Brandon Gaudin on the FanDuel Sports Network. Look forward to catching up with you once you guys get back to the ballpark. Safe travels and hopefully bring home a few wins.
Sounds good. Thanks, Grant.
Well, that's going to wrap up hour number one of From the Diamond, but don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more to get to, including some of the biggest headlines from across Major League Baseball and a visit with Scott Braun of Foul Territory TV. It's all ahead for you on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.